Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. And can I say what a joy and privilege it is to be gathered together in this place once again to offer songs of praise and worship to our Christ as we formally welcome Kent and Amanda Hoffsmith to our church family and trusting that we can bless them both as we appoint Kent as our new associate pastor. It's also, for me, a great privilege to welcome and offer special thanks for our brother in Christ, the Reverend Peter Johnson and his wife Karen. We're glad you've joined us. Peter serves as an associate superintendent for the Eastern District of the Evangelical Free Church of America. And in that role, he serves and he supports churches in the district. And today he joins us not simply in his official capacity, but also as one who knows Kent and Amanda and loves them, and who has been, he's been their friend and a mentor. I'm also very thankful to welcome Kent and Amanda's friends and family who have gathered here and are able to join us this morning, especially Amanda's parents, David and Kathy Nice, and Kent's parents, Tim and Belinda Hoffsmith, and I understand also their grandparents with us as well. So we're welcome to all. We trust that you will sense the presence of the living God in this time as we make our way through this installation service. Brothers and sisters, the installation of a pastor is a milestone in the life of any community of believers. And it marks a special moment as well in the life of the one privileged to be called into pastoral ministry. For our church family, Kent's installation as an associate pastor is a milestone. It's a milestone because it serves as the culmination of what has been a lengthy process. A process that has seen the congregation diligently seeking the Lord in prayer and calling upon the Holy Spirit to provide the wisdom that we've needed to discern God's will for us as a church. And I believe we can say, without a shadow of a doubt, that God has been faithful. He has protected us in this time from trials and tribulations that could well have taken us off the right track. And he's brought us through these days with a remarkable sense of unity and peace. And he's made clear through his people that Kent is the man that God has set apart to serve among us. With the arrival of Kent and Amanda, I believe the Lord is inaugurating a new chapter in his work among us and in the community of Lake Katrine and in the Hudson Valley. Through Kent, the Lord opens the door to new ideas. Through Kent, we see a renewed energy. And God has provided us in Kent a man who is both humble and whose youthful voice will help us to grow in faithfulness to our Lord, love and grace for one another, and he will help to equip us to take the gospel message beyond the walls of Grace Church and into the community and throughout the world. So this is a milestone for Grace Church. But I would also suggest that it's a milestone for the man called into God's service. The moment of installation is a precious one. It marks the beginning of Kent's new ministry among God's people. It's not only the moment that Kent will publicly acknowledge and publicly submits himself to what God has set him apart to do, but it's also the moment that he formally takes upon himself the very great responsibility to care and to tend and to nurture God's precious people here at Grace Church. For the man called as a pastor, there is in this moment the profound recognition that he is not up to the responsibility placed upon him. And therefore, he must be dependent upon the Lord and his mighty strength if he's to serve God's people the way God intends him to. So this morning, we've set aside this time to praise and worship God for his faithfulness to us, for his faithfulness in providing to us Kent and Amanda. We praise God for Kent's willingness to acknowledge God's call upon his life and to take upon himself this very great responsibility for the care of God's people. And in this moment, we praise and worship God for Amanda, because she is willingly taking this faith journey with Kent. It is she who will participate in the ups and downs of his life and ministry in the church. It'll be Amanda who will support Kent in the hard times, and she will be there to uplift him and be a part of the really good times, the celebratory moments. So we praise God for Amanda being with us. And so now we're going to continue our service of installation. And I'd like to invite our brother in Christ, the Reverend Peter Johnson, to come forward and share with us this morning some thoughts. Brother?
Well, good morning, everyone. It's really good to be here with you this morning. You know, this is my first time here at the church, and we're driving down, is it Cemena Road?
Sarema,
and my GPS said, turn left, and I turned left into, is that a rehab hospital?
I was like, yes.
This does not look like the right place. If it is, I'm in trouble. You're in trouble, but... I want to bring greetings from the Eastern District this morning. The Eastern District of the Evangelical Free Church, of which you're a part, runs from upstate New York to the bottom of Virginia, halfway across New York State, halfway across Pennsylvania, and we have 130 congregations that Eddie Cole, who's the district superintendent, and I help oversee. I'm the associate superintendent. But I want to bring you greetings from Eddie. He asked me to please greet you this morning. If you've been here for a lot of years, maybe 35 or 40 years, maybe 30 years, maybe, you might remember somebody by the name of Bob and Joan Sproul, who were working with the youth ministry. They left here to go to Hershey Church, where he served as youth pastor and as music worship pastor, and now he's planted a church. You know, it's tough to plant a church when you're 30. It's even harder when you're 64, like Bob is. But he's planting a church, and that church is just taking off. So they want, Bob and Joan also wanted me to pass greetings to you this morning. Part of what we're doing in the Eastern District right now, we're reformulating and forming new church planting and multiplication ministries for the district. We just started a new church down in Roanoke, Virginia. An African-American pastor came and is starting to work with us there to do a multicultural church down in Roanoke. We've got residencies that are being developed within our district in certain churches in different geographical areas to encourage young people as a pipeline into leadership. Dave Borma oversees that, and Amanda used to be Dave Borma's administrative assistant before she came to work with you here. We have residencies for urban pastors and church planters, and so a lot of really good things are happening in the Eastern District, and I want to thank you for being a part of that, for your participation financially, as well as just being a part of who we are. It's a privilege to be able to serve you as the Eastern District. I want to talk to you about Kent and Amanda this morning, just for a few minutes. And you might say, why did I send Kent's resume and encourage you to look at him seriously? And I did. I talked to your pastor. I talked to some of your elders and just said, you need to take a good look at this young man. He has a great upbringing, and that's one of the reasons why I encouraged you to look at him. Tim and Belinda, his parents, are here today. They trained their three sons to be churchmen, to be active in ministry, even from an early age. Whether hosting missionaries in their home or being involved with international students and international professionals working in the Hershey, Pennsylvania area, being involved with a bilingual church plant in Grantville, which is near Harrisburg, encouraging their sons to get a Bible degree, to be missionaries, to be friends to the poor and to the needy, or to be frontline Christian workers and pastors. The Huffsmiths and the Walters, they have a generations of Christian leadership flowing through their veins. I knew that if you decided to choose Kent as your associate pastor, he would be bringing a solid Bible base, a solid Christian worldview. Kent's brother Kyle is a youth pastor in Ohio. His youngest brother Joel is at Moody, preparing to be a missionary amongst those who speak Spanish. Do you want your kids to stay involved in the church that they grew up in? Then pay attention to what the Huffsmiths have done with their sons and repeat that. Don't do ministry for them. Include them into the ministry, even at an early age. Don't make everything else the priority. Be people of the church. Include them. Encourage them to be involved. Make that your family DNA. So what am I saying here today? Well, your new associate pastor comes from really, really good stock. And I want to talk about Amanda as well. Amanda, who used to be Amanda Nice, when she first came to the Hershey Church, she was Amanda Nice, and then she met Kent. But she grew up in a solid family in Crystal, Minnesota. Hope Evangelical Free Church is just an amazing church there. Her family are very active, and they're here this morning as well. They're very active in the life of the church there, helping those in need, helping the children grow up, welcoming people to the church who are visitors. Amanda is a kind, compassionate, and extremely administrative person. You probably don't know this, but you know, normally we look for healthy pastors and say, would you consider moving from here to pastor in this new place? How many of you ever heard of an administrative assistant being sought out to move halfway across the country from Minnesota to come work as an administrative assistant in the Eastern District? Well, that's what happened with Amanda. She was helping the youth ministry at Hershey. Kent grew up he went to Word of Life. He went to Lancaster Bible College. He got his Bible degree there along with social work. He was a missionary to Turkey, working with refugees. He's been involved with ESL. He was a crisis response worker with our crisis response ministry team with the Evangelical Free Church, coordinating teams coming to work to rebuild homes in New Orleans. He was the interim pastor for youth at Hershey. He's a gospel preacher and teacher. He's a worship leader. He can play a mean guitar. I don't know if you've heard that yet. He's a missions trip leader. He's a learner. He's the sort of a guy that looks for a hand to grasp forward and a hand to grasp backward. In other words, hold on to somebody who's older in the faith and learn from them, be mentored, be discipled by those who are older in the faith, and do the same with those who are coming up younger. That's the sort of pastor you want. I congratulate you in choosing a fine young couple. And my job here is not to charge you as a congregation, but I will say this. If you want them to do well here, be a mentor to them in their youth. Some of you, take them under your arm and encourage them, love on them, talk ministry with them, help them dream what can happen here in the Hudson Valley. Ephesians 5:25 says, love the church like Christ loved and died a sacrificial death for his bride, so that all who will come into the family of God. So, Kent, I'm just going to leave you with this, brother. Go and make disciples of all nations. That's the Great Commission. Love God and love your neighbor. That's the Great Commandment. And when you add the Great Commission and the Great Commandment together, you end up with a great community. Here, in the local church setting, but also what Revelation 7, 9 to 10 talks about, that there at the throne of God one day, there will be people from every tribe and every tongue and every people group worshiping and loving the Lord. God's called you here to do that. So congratulations. And Pastor West, thanks for taking him into your fold here.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Thank you for those words. They are especially meaningful given how much you know them. It's a wonderful moment, a wonderful opportunity for me to have the opportunity to speak with you this morning. I've had the pleasure of serving now with Kent for 2 full weeks. And in that time, I've learned a great deal. In that time, I have been struck by your humility. I've been struck by your enthusiasm. I have been struck by your great desire to be a faithful servant of Christ. It exudes from you. And there are a whole host of things that I would love to share with you this morning, but there is not nearly the time. But I'm going to have that time. And over the years, I think that it's going to be my great privilege to continue to be around you, to speak to you, and to work with such a fine, fine partner, a full partner. But this morning, I want to share just a couple of brief thoughts. Ken, as I'm sure you're already aware, serving as a pastor, as a shepherd among God's people is a tremendous privilege. It's a privilege because as a pastor, you're allowed to participate in the lives of others as if Christ were right there, as his ambassador in the moment. You're invited into some of life's most intimate moments. You'll be called upon to welcome and pray over a newborn child. I tell you, there's nothing better than that. To see a newborn, to hold that newborn, to pray over that newborn, to help a family welcome them. Or you'll be a part of helping a young couple start their new life together by conducting premarital counsel or doing the service. It's a tremendous joy and privilege. And you'll also be called upon to attend families in their most bitter times of grief and mourning, times when there are no words, but simply your presence will be what's needed, just to be there, just to care. And you'll find yourself providing counsel and support and care and a listening ear to those who have been made vulnerable by illness. You'll be called upon to serve those who have been victimized by this world or who have simply fallen prey to their own temptations and demonstrated just how deep human frailty can be. These are intimate moments. They are sacramental moments in many ways. And you are going to be included in them and called upon to be Jesus' representative, to speak his words of blessing, his words of comfort, his words of peace, and his words of wisdom. I can truly think of no greater privilege than to be allowed to journey with others in those most intimate moments and to walk beside them through all that life presents. The ups and the downs and all the in-between. And as joyous as that ministry is, And as rich and fulfilling as that ministry is, there are also moments of great questioning. And there are times of great doubt. There are moments when the situations that confront you are far beyond your experience and wisdom. And not simply because of your age. There will be times 10 years out, 15 years out, 20 years out, when you will see something and it will press upon you. And you'll say to yourself, I don't know how to respond. So if you are to be found effective in the service of this people and in the name of Jesus, if you are going to be found fruitful, to be able to minister in the good times and the bad times, to participate in this privilege as an ambassador of Jesus Christ, then you're going to have to remember that it's God who called you into this ministry. You have not earned this ministry. You will never earn this ministry. You have been called to it. And you need to keep this calling in mind when you find yourself overwhelmed, and you will. You'll need to keep this calling in mind when you find yourself feeling anxious or fearful. Knowing that you have been set apart for this ministry has a way of stealing our resolve, has a way of causing us to be able to be strong and courageous as we carry out His will and press forward when things get challenging. I'm reminded of Joshua, one of my favorite characters in the scripture. This great man, this great warrior, this man who had followed Moses for years and years. And it's so interesting to me that when God calls Joshua, He tells this great man of war, this great, courageous general, be strong and courageous. Seems odd to say to a warrior, a man who had seen many battles and had surely shown his strength and his courage. But again and again and again, God says, be strong and courageous. And what's so remarkable is, He says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. He reminds Joshua, I called you. You're not strong and courageous on your own strength. You're strong and courageous because I called you to it. God has called you to this place. Be strong and courageous. As one who's been called as Jesus' representative, it's also going to be imperative, Kent, that you keep closely connected to the one whose purposes you serve. This means that you're going to need to resolve to be a man of the word in prayer. You need to decide that now. Before things get hot and heavy, before things get rolling, before you're enmeshed in all of the tasks of ministry, you need to decide right now, I am a man of word and prayer. Because I promise you that the pressures of serving and the pressures of caring for others will pull upon you, and you will be tempted to lay aside your time in the Word, lay aside your dependence upon prayer, and try to go it alone, to try to meet the multitude of needs that are there. But I would remind you that that's a trap. If you fail to commit to seeking the Lord through prayer and in the reading of His Word, you're going to find yourself that you're growing increasingly dependent upon your own strength. And as much as you might deserve and desire to serve God's people, you might long to serve God's people, your efforts will prove increasingly devoid of His power working in and through you. You'll find yourself frustrated in ministry, even angry with the people that God has set apart for you to serve. You'll find yourself powerless in the service if you do not stay grounded in the Word and you do not stay dependent upon prayer and you don't remember who it is you serve. As I said earlier, there is so much more that I would love to share and even warn you about. But for now, remember it is God who's called you, Kent. Steel your resolve with that thought. Be strong and courageous. Stay committed connected and dependent on the one who has called you, because those he calls, he empowers. And my hope is that you will find yourself daily blessed as you serve God's people, and that you will be used by God to do things that you never thought you could do, things that you could never ask or imagine. And you will grow in dependence upon him. May you love him more with each passing day. And may you give him praise and the glory and the honor due his name. Now I'd like you to come up here and receive the charge. And you stand right here, brother.
Yeah.
Brother Kent, you've been called by God through the voice of this congregation to serve among us and help lead this people as we seek to love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength, so that we might go and make disciples of all the nations. Now, within this common ministry of all of us, you've been set apart for special service, to equip the body of Christ for its ministry of reconciliation to the world. So as you embark on this chapter of your ministry, I charge you to remember that Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. And I charge you to seek to live with the joy and confidence that comes from being rooted in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, while your office grants you privilege, it is the privilege to serve in the name of Jesus. So in the discharge of that office, I charge you to love and serve Christ's people. Love and serve them in this place and outside the walls of this church, even as Christ has loved you. Open your life to us as a community. Share our joys. Share our burdens. Share our labors. Share our faith. I charge you not to forget the trust of those who have chosen you. Preach the word in season and out. Mm-hmm. Teach faithfully, watching over us by providing for us and providing for our spiritual life and instruction. Nourish us with wisdom and strengthen us to glorify God. Care for us with patience, young and old, strong and weak, rich and poor. Urge us to remember the friendless and the needy and show the love of Jesus to all peoples. And I charge you to serve our community with energy, with your intellect, with your imagination, and with love, relying on God's mercy and rejoicing in God's promises through Jesus Christ. And lastly, I charge you to seek Christ's presence in prayer, strengthening yourself for your work. Spend ample time in study and don't shortchange it, for only then can you be a truly worthy instrument for his work in you. Exercise the gifts that you've been given, and allow God and this congregation to forgive your failings. Don't forget that. You are going to have times of trouble, and you will fail at times. Let us cover you. Allow us to forgive you. Take leisure and recreation. Enjoy the precious gift you've been given in Amanda. Give her time to enjoy you. So, Brother Kent, will you receive this charge as you endeavor to serve here at Grace Church?
I will.
I know you will. So let God's people say amen.
Amen. Thank you.
If I can invite Steve Van Cleek to come forward.
I'd like to speak to you briefly today from 1 Peter chapter 3. If you have your Bible with you, feel free to join me there. It'll be beginning in verse 8. And I want to begin this morning by saying to each of you to the extent to which we commit to each other to be committed to our Lord Jesus Christ, we will give a gift to our pastors. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 8. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Peter has begun this with a challenge to the believers of his day to whom he was writing to be like-minded. And if you're like me, and if you've spent any time in this world at all, you know that's nearly an impossible challenge because we do not all have the same mind. We do not have the same opinions, the same thoughts. But I think it's very important that we understand that Peter understood that. That he was calling the believers to be like-minded in their commitment to the following things that he would charge them with. Peter called them to be sympathetic, to be able to understand the pains and hurts of other people, to love one another, to be compassionate, and one of the most difficult things in life, to be humble. Peter then says, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Now, beginning in verse 10, he's quoting from the book of Psalms. And when he says, whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. Brothers and sisters, we all know all too well what it is to be on the receiving end of other people's harsh, dishonest, and unloving words. And we are commanded in Scripture to flee such things. Verse 11, they must turn from evil and do good. Now, it would be very tempting to look at this passage and say, turn from evil and do good. I don't think I can do that. I know I've tried, and I don't think I can do that. But I want us to remember who is speaking to us in this broader context. The Apostle Peter knew very well what he could not do. The Apostle Peter, if he knew anything, knew what it was to fail. The Apostle Peter knew what it was to have to be face to face forgiven by Jesus Christ, the man I just let down. And I believe that Peter's words to this congregation of believers were not some hopeful dream or wish that they would somehow flee all evil, but it was rather a call to them to commit themselves to fleeing evil. It was a call to them to commit themselves to wanting to do the right thing by the strength and power of God's Holy Spirit. Clearly, throughout Grace Church's history, the people of Grace have not always been like-minded. We have not always spoken to each other nor to our pastors in ways that were sympathetic and loving and compassionate and humble. I know there have been times when Pastor Wes has received nasty emails, not from people outside the church, but from people right within this room. I know there have been times when Pastor Wes, like other pastors before him, has been poked by people over something that wasn't his fault. And it wasn't by the people of the world. It was by people right in this room. To the extent to which we can commit to each other to be people who are committed to following Jesus Christ and the Word of God, we offer to our pastors a great gift. Because what our pastors are looking for are not perfect people. Our pastors are hoping for the opportunity to serve with, alongside of, and for a group of people who desire, in all of their failures, to serve Jesus Christ, to serve with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. You will not help our pastors if you commit to doing something that you're not committed to do. You will not help our pastors if you promise something that you have a pretty good idea you're never going to be able to follow through with. You will not help our pastors if you hide inside the things that are really troubling you. Our pastors will benefit from your honesty, from your ability to show them and live before them the people who you really are. If Wes and Kent can know how you struggle and the areas in which you're acutely aware of your failure, they will rejoice for the opportunity to serve alongside of someone who is desiring to see Christ make them stronger than they would otherwise be. We don't bless them by pretending to be something that we're not. We certainly don't bless them by claiming to be people of the Word who truly have no desire whatsoever to take the hard steps of living it. Rather, to the extent to which we can commit to each other as a body to be committed to following Jesus Christ, we will give to our pastors a great gift. What I'd like to do now is have you participate with me in a charge that I will offer to you as the congregation of Grace Church. I'm going to read a series of statements, and at the conclusion of each of the brief statements, I am going to ask you if you accept the charge. And if so, I am going to ask you to respond in unison by saying, yes, we will. And I'll guide you through this as we go through together. What I would offer to you today is that by agreeing to be committed to this charge, You are not by any means saying that you're a perfect person who will never fail. What you are saying is you are a person who desires to commit yourself in this way to your pastors. So, sisters and brothers in Christ, with guidance of the Holy Spirit, you have called Kent Hoffsmith to be your pastor, to lead you in the way of Jesus Christ. So, I charge you this day to encourage him, respect his decisions, follow as he guides you, serving Jesus Christ, who alone is head of the church. If you accept this charge, please say with me, yes, we will. Yes, we will. I charge you to pay him fairly and provide for his welfare as he works among you. If you accept, please say, yes, we will. Yes, we will. I charge you to stand by him in troubles and share his joys. If so, please say, yes, we will. I charge you to listen to the word he preaches, hear as he teaches, welcome his pastoral care, and honor his calling as he seeks to honor and obey our Lord. If you accept, please say, yes, we will. I charge you to rededicate yourselves to the gospel and give yourselves to God's renewing power, to place your whole selves in Christ's service, that God may be glorified in this place and beyond. If you accept this charge, please say, yes, we will. Finally, I charge you this day to commit yourself to pray for your brothers and sisters at Grace, to commit yourself to praying for Pastors Wes and Kent on a weekly, if not daily, basis. If you accept this charge, please say, yes, I will. Thank you.
Steve, why'd you stay up? You want to grab a mic?
Now we'd like to have a time of prayer. So I would like to invite Kent and Amanda to come up. I'd like to invite the elder board to please join us here. Peter, Karen, would you like to join us as well? I'd like to invite Mr. and Mrs. Hoffsmith, Mr. and Mrs. Nice to join us, please. And why don't we're going to stand right back here if we could. I'm going to ask us to form a semicircle around them.
Scott, could I ask you to grab another mic, please?
No, it's on. It should be on.
I think you did. I'm going to trade this one around. No, the evil one enjoys working in technology. So we're going to solve this problem, because he doesn't get the last word. He never gets the last word. What we're going to do is we're going to trade this around. I laugh at him.
Brothers and sisters, inside your bulletin, you'll find, or I think in the back cover, you're going to find a list of prayer requests for Kent and Amanda. I'd ask them to put those together, and I would ask that you'd be praying for those things over the course of the next 3 or so months. Just keep praying for them, especially in this transition. We prayed them in the door, and now we're going to pray for them as they transition and they start to make their way among us. So I'm going to ask my brother Scott to offer a word of prayer. I'm going to ask Peter Johnson to pray for us, and then I will close us. And I'm going to ask that you would pray where you are, that you bow your heads and we could join our hearts together. Thank you.
Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we are experiencing tremendous joy in our hearts right now as we are so excited to have Kent and Amanda join us in your ministry here. We are your local family of God. We're knit together by Jesus Christ, who died for us. And as Wes said earlier, he's the one that chose us. Chose us to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, eternal fruit. That's what we want to be about here. And I pray that, especially for Kent and Amanda, that they would be part of that fruit-bearing process that you are doing here at Grace Church. I pray that we receive the word of God that comes through them, that Christ, as he shines through them, we would experience that. We would receive the equipping and go and do the ministry that we're called to, that we don't call upon Kent and Amanda to do the ministry, but that we hear what you're saying through them to us so that we can be the body of Christ. They're only two people, but if we allow them to allow you to breathe into us your Holy Spirit, we can have hundreds of ministers of the gospel instead of just two full-time ministers. That's what we want, Lord. We want to bring the gospel in all its form and fullness to everyone that you call us to right here locally. And then as you call us to take this farther across New York State and this country and this world, I know I pray for Kent and Amanda. I pray for us. Here we are. Send us, Lord. Humble us to go in your power and your spirit. And I pray that Kent and Amanda would continually be filled with your spirit so that they can then be the conduits of your spirit, not only to us, but to other people that we are supposed to reach. Protect them, guide them, refresh them, and help us to love them as they love us and as you love us.
Lord God, on behalf of the Eastern District of the Free Church, we want to add our prayer of commitment to be a part of who they are. Bless them, Lord. I pray that you would allow them to make good friends with the people here at Grace Community Church. Lord, not just here inside the building, but also, Lord, help them to make good friends in the community as well, as a gospel witness. Lord, we want to see disciples made and matured, and disciples who are making more disciples, who are even making more disciples. Lord, would you please allow Amanda to find her place here in the church, to live and love and be friends with various people in this community. We pray that you'd allow Kent and Amanda to increase their love for each other and be strong in their marriage as they go forward. And we'll thank you, Lord Jesus.
Father God, we praise your name. You are holy and mighty and magnificent and lovely and admirable. You are perfect in all of your ways, and we praise you for how you've been at work in these days. We thank you so much for your provision of Kent and Amanda. We pray, Father God, that you would place your powerful hand upon them and that you would draw them close to you. We pray, Father God, that they would seek you in the word and prayer. We pray, Father God, that you would protect and preserve them, because we know, Father God, that those who step forward in faith are often challenged. And so we pray, Father, that you would protect them from the temptations of the evil one, who would seek to destroy and to seek to entangle them. We pray, Father God, that nothing could entangle them and call them slaves to it when they are free in you. Oh, Father God, I pray that you'd protect their household. I pray that you would grow their relationship one to another. I pray that as each of them spend time in your word, that they would be drawn to you and they would be able to love one another as you call them to. And Father God, as you work in them, as you work in Kent,
And as he's grown in you, may he grow in endurance. May he grow in strength. May he grow in the knowledge of the love of Jesus. And may the whole world and all those who come in contact with Kent and Amanda, may they see Jesus exuded from them. Oh, Father God, may they truly be a light for the gospel of the glory of Christ. And may they remember they've been given everything they need for life and godliness through their knowledge of Christ who calls them. So, Father, I pray that they would lean on you, depend on you, seek you out in all things. Oh, Father, we lift them to you. We praise you for the faithfulness that have brought them. And in all things, we pray that you will get the glory and the honor that is due your name. And we pray this in the precious name of Christ our Lord. Amen and amen.